Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum Ben Moshe. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about self-efficacy. Self-efficacy, meaning that if a person wants to achieve something in life, first of all, he has to believe that he can do it. He stands no chance without it. Be with us, self-efficacy, Tal, please. Yeah, exactly. It's believing that I can do it. Psychologists found out that it's a kind of a key to success. Self-efficacy is what allows us to be persistent in achieving our goals. It gives us the motivation to try. If you take two different people with the same skills, which are also very important, you'll see that the person that believes in himself in the long run will be much more successful than the person that doesn't believe in himself. So we as a society, we put a strong emphasis on self-efficacy, on developing the ability to believe in yourself. So we'd like to talk a bit about the culture of self-efficacy. How do we learn how to do it? How do we develop it? In your eyes, what is a person's self-efficacy? How important is it for him? It's a very complicated subject, because if we're talking on the level of this world, like sociologists say, psychologists say, from your perspective, then sure, we have what we see in the field. But if we're talking about succeeding in life, about success in life, I relate it to the general program, the general plan of creation, and then we have a problem. Because a person's faith in his own forces can also bring him to different bad places. The measure to which the plans that he depicts for the future are in sync with the plan, the program of nature, the creator, the upper force, because one way or another, each of us has a destiny of their own. Even though that we're all interconnected and that eventually there's this one flow. But what does it mean that I believe in my ability to change everything, to change the world? So alongside with this, I have to be balanced, so that both my ability and my desire will be in the same direction, and so that they'll be balanced as two lines, and I, in between them, use both. This is one thing. Another thing is that, like that child that wants to develop, I also have to know, is my development in some way, does it depend on the general development of the entire world? Or am I only talking about my small development where my entire life is leaving home for school or for work and then coming back home and so on? Depends what a person's talking about. It's good that a person's forces will be in sync with his intellect, will correspond his intellect, his ability to criticize himself. This is correct, but if his forces are greater than that, then it's not good. It could be destructive. So again, what is this balance? If I have the power, the strength to lift 100 kilos, a ton, 10 tons, but in parallel, do I have the intellect, the mind to understand what to do with such an ability? Suppose Israel has a nuclear bomb. Everyone knows, everyone understands, but no one's shouting at us. Why do you have a nuclear bomb? You have to get rid of it. Because they know that we won't use it, but it's only in order to deter, to really survive. But if a few of the countries around Israel will have a nuclear bomb, then it's obvious what they're going to do with it. Meaning, self-efficacy. It's not something good. It's good if it's balanced with common sense, a healthy mind, a person's ability to feel, to balance himself in direction of the correct goal. Otherwise, it can all in all be destructive, something that destroys man himself and the environment. When people feel that they can't do something, when they have this feeling that I can't do this thing, they won't do it. Why? Why do we have this inner critic sitting inside us, weighing, can I do it? Can't I? If I believe that I can do it, I'll go for it. If I don't think so, I won't. Why? I'm afraid of failure. I don't want it. Our nature is the will to receive. We want to succeed. We like it. We want to believe in ourselves. We want to be confident. We want to achieve the goal we set out to achieve. We want to enjoy its fruits. But if I see in advance that it's not for me, then why bother? Why fail? Why feel humiliated? Really, the fear of humiliation, many times it's so strong in people that they don't even try. And many times we try to develop in a person the ability that he can do something so that this fear won't take the best of him. This is also a question. Is this good? And what if people will do less things? Maybe it's better that they'll do less things. Exactly. So this is exactly what I wanted to ask about. You said that there are several levels. There's the simple level where a person goes to school, work, goes back home. Is it important for a person to have a basic belief in his abilities so that he'll be able to succeed in life? And instead of being afraid or giving up too quickly because he's afraid of failure, he'll be persistent at school and the university. He'll achieve things in life. No. If a person has a certain framework, school or some activity that he's a part of, then there, in that framework, accordingly, we have to give him the confidence that he can succeed. But to simply succeed in everything in life, that's not good. That's not good. A person has to be balanced. So it all depends on the framework that we give a person. The framework that we give and that it's something preferable. Suppose for a person to finish school or some activity, to go to the army, to get married, to have children, to raise them. But everything as a part of a framework, everything in a way that he'll feel convenient, comfortable, and that he won't have to run around asking himself, why am I not a famous movie star or a beauty queen or whatever? Something that will consume their entire happiness. So the culture that sells us dreams that if you'll only want to, you'll be able to achieve things, I don't think it's good. I think that as a result, most of humanity is depressed. Why? Because people can't achieve their dreams? Right. I can't be like Alain Delon or some beauty queen or whatever. And then I'm despaired. Why are you despaired? You're a human being. You have everything of your own. Enjoy life. Do sports. Exercise. Go for a walk. Read a good book. Watch a nice movie. Look at the things you can do. If you want, you can develop in science, study philosophy. Please come to us, study the wisdom of Kabbalah. But not that you set out to achieve such goals that only unique people have achieved. It's one in a billion. So what's the use? I think that the fact that we're pushing people for such achievements, it's not good. The main thing is for a person to be happy. Happy means to be satisfied with what he has. Let's take, for example, high school or university. And let's say that there are two people that have the same course of study, and they have the same mental abilities. And it seems that, suppose Tal and I, we go into that same course, we're supposed to achieve similar achievements. Now let's isolate one factor. This is what I'm trying to understand. Tal is a person that believes that she'll succeed, and I believe in my abilities much less. Researchers show that Tal will do much better, even though that to start out we had the same abilities. Why is it so that her belief in herself and her abilities added to the result? Why? How does it work inside of her? She isn't better. We have the same mental abilities. For sure she'll succeed more. Why? Because she already depicted a certain future for herself, and you depicted a certain future for yourself. You depicted failure. You constantly saw your deterioration. You even prayed in your heart to deteriorate. And she was sure that she's soaring ever higher. She sees herself as a queen, that she's beautiful, that she's successful, or whatever. Whatever a person depicts is really helpful for him. How does it work on the inside? It's our inner forces of nature. What forces did she get as a result of these positive pictures? She drew the future upon herself, to herself. She drew it to herself. This is what I want. I want to have a diploma. I want to succeed. I want to be like this and like that. She already drew this image to herself. She kind of clothed in it already now, and therefore it became ever more fit for her. And therefore others also accepted her this way. And you, the way you built yourself, that you're going to fail, you don't know, you don't understand, you're not sure, maybe, somehow. And if some small thing didn't work out, then you give up. Yeah, it's very important. So it is important to develop these tools. Like you said, that I already depict the desired outcome and I believe that I can achieve it. I think that these things are built in a person from young age, according to the messages that he gets from the environment, according to what people say about him. How do you see the building of this ability in a person to believe in something and to achieve that goal? This is from very young age, that first of all, a person feels that he's supported, that he can discover the purpose of his development, the meaning of life, maybe in the short run, but he can discover it as something that's important for him, and that those around him will agree with it, will accept it, and will support him, and not that he'll be forced to achieve different goals or experience different states that, by nature, he doesn't want to. What language should you use with a child in order for him to develop self-efficacy? What shouldn't you tell him? We have to see what are that child's inclinations and then accordingly to give him the ability to develop. Suppose my parents wanted me to be a musician. That's something, really. Piano, the violin, anything. My only inclination was towards science, technology. So they saw it, fine. What do you want? I want every month to get by mail all the magazines about science. And really, they paid for these things. It was pretty expensive. Meaning, everything I wanted in the direction that I chose, and they saw that I'm really persistent about it, they supported it. And it wasn't easy for them to change direction because they saw me as some kind of a special doctor or musician. Why is the support of your close environment so important? Without that, a person doesn't feel that he can succeed. Why? Because who stands behind him, pushing him forward, keeping him from falling? And even if he does fall, then there is where to come back to someone that understands you. So suppose a child failed. There are things that if we tell him, it'll hurt his self-efficacy and so on. Yeah. You have to be very gentle. As it says, raise a child in his own ways. Meaning, in his own ways, but you have to educate him. We always have these sayings that we really have to be careful with. So, as I said in the beginning, it's good if we have this ability, efficacy on the one hand, but do I balance it with my ability? So I understand that it's good if I develop my child and myself to believe in achievable, doable goals, realistic things, but it's not good if I try to achieve unrealistic goals or that are beyond my ability. This is what you mean? Yeah. And we have to help a child do that. I can't become some football champion, a professional soccer player. I'm not built that way, even though that maybe as a little child I'm envious of him, but it's not for me. How can you know in advance if you didn't try? I can consult my parents, doctors. I can ask my mom to take me to the doctors, and the doctor will tell me, you can become a world chess champion, but not a soccer pro. So what can I do? But how can you know that about someone? What do you mean? They're the qualities that you're born with. Each of us has certain inclinations, especially your traits. The thing is that many of these things are very subjective, meaning what do I really believe that I can do? Sometimes a person can do many things, but he simply doesn't believe that it's for him. He doesn't think that he is one of the successful ones, that he can do it. Maybe he can become a soccer player if he's persistent, if he develops his skills. I remember that as a child, I was very talented in drawing, but I never developed these skills. And there was another girl. She wasn't that talented, but she believed in herself. She developed these skills, and today she's an artist, a very good one. So it's not something that really depends on your basic abilities, but on a person's persistence. Of course, this is how it is. The desire, it breaks everything that stands in its way. I want to take the example of that girl that became an artist. Previously, you said that what differentiates between two people is the way they depict their future. You said that if Tal depicts a successful future, she as if draws that upon herself, and I depict a less successful future, and this is what I draw upon myself. And she also gave that example with that girl that became a famous artist. What exactly happens in this process where you draw the future that you depict upon yourself? By really wanting a certain future, we influence it. By depicting a certain picture, yeah. What happens? I influence it because the desire in my heart to achieve something is called a prayer. And then, consciously or unconsciously, I turn to the upper force that controls the entire universe, all of humanity, and my desire influences it. So the more persistent and strong my desire is, and nonetheless realistic, I influence this upper mechanism. It's all in all a kind of network of connections between us that controls everyone. That's called the Creator, the upper force. And therefore, when I so-called pray, and children are actually inclined toward that, then by that, I awaken the upper force. I really make it my partner. And it helps. It's like we, the grown-ups, are told, you have to pray, you have to ask. It's much less than a child does. Why? What differentiates a child from a grown-up in this respect? A child does it in good faith. He does it because he wants to. Without any big calculations, like this, like that. I want to be a sailor, for example. I want to all the time be at sea. Or I want to be a pilot. I want to. And then he dreams about it all the time, and by this he influences the system. The system brings him to a state where he has to decide and practice. Is it really so or not? Is it really for him or not? Is he suitable for it? And then he chooses his path in a more serious manner. But really, our thoughts all the time influence the system that governs us, that supervises us, and we have no doubt. To say that I'm working on self-efficacy, of course I do, by really wanting to draw a certain future to myself. My son, I see that he gives up really quickly. When things are a bit hard, he gets frustrated very quickly and gives up. Is it important to develop the ability to be persistent, not to give up too quickly, to tell yourself, I can do it? Is it important to teach him to talk to himself this way? Yeah, I think that you have to have exercises of how to do it, to explain to him how it works, and every year to explain a bit more how it works. The more he works on self-persuasion, we call it self-persuasion, but really, it goes through the general system. And by that, he really changes the conditions for his success. What do you mean? How does he convince himself? By telling myself that I can do it, I'm capable, this, that. It's not that I grow stronger as a result. My desire, it's not my words, it's my desire. It influences the general desire, where the entire universe, all of reality, is all in all a desire. And by investing my desire in the general desire, it comes back to me, helping me advance in the direction I prayed for. This is really interesting. This is how we actually all the time act, how we're operated. Why did you say then that we can't succeed in anything that we set out to achieve if we really ask for it? Because there are limits to it? Not limits, but is my desire in accordance with the purpose of creation? Is my course in sync with the general course of things? So if my son wants to succeed in doing something with his toy, then we're not talking about these kinds of things. We're talking about a person's line in life, about a person's development. Here you're talking about small things. But what, you mean that he doesn't succeed in building something? Yeah, he tries to build something and he can't and he gets frustrated. There's a kind of inclination here, a starting point where a person tries and tries again until he makes it. You have to find for him on the internet or someplace such movies, such examples that a person really invests himself, putting in his time and efforts, and then he succeeds, and how appreciated he is for it. I want to ask about the mechanism you talked about. When a person really wants something, you said that that person's desire works, influences the general desire, from where he gets additional forces that help him advance, that help him achieve what he wanted. That a person has a very strong desire for something, this I understand. What is this general desire that we influence from where we get additional forces from? Because our entire nature is a desire. What nature? Everything, all of nature. The still, vegetative, animate, people. It's all one desire. And this desire, it develops. And is the development of this general desire and my development in life, do they correspond? Are they in sync? But this isn't something for little children. We have to give little children examples, stories, where people become despaired, and still, out of despair, I agree that I can't do it. Maybe I don't even have the strength to imagine that I can do it, but mechanically I keep on going. And then I see gradually that even though that I didn't want to before, but I'm succeeding. Meaning the action itself opens a new desire in me, new horizons for success. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Unfortunately, our time's up. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time. All the best.